This conference will.
There are a number of people that still aren't exuding a level of confidence and I can attitude out there. And although we see a lot of I canners in our organization, we still have people that, you know, are walking a little bit in doubt, and they've had a couple tough years in their Manitouk business, perhaps, or a couple tough months or whatever, and they're still kind of a little bit stuck. And so I wanted to talk about the confidence factor today, and I've actually trained on this before, but it was we didn't have one taped on the Manitrain website, so we decided to pick up on it and do a training on the confidence factor. And it's really important for us to step up in a realm of you know, believing, because belief is really, that's the triggering foundational point of creating anything that you want to create in your life. You got to have the belief in it. You have to believe it's going to happen, and then all of a sudden all the energy forces around you will support you in creating that result. So one of my favorite quotes, and I'll probably be giving you a few of them because there's so many great quotes out there that have to do with confidence and you know, whatever hits you is what you want to grab onto as a quote that you might hang on to, because, you know, little reminders for us are very important for us to keep our heads above water and keep ourselves directed. Like eat your frog first thing in the morning. I love that one because it's all about don't procrastinate. Get done with the thing you least want to do right out of the box, so that you create an incredible day, because otherwise it tears apart your whole attitude and your energy and everything else for the rest of the day. So some of those things are important to me that I carry around that work for me. But each one of us have different things that we need to be working on. But one of the quotes that I carry with me as well, and I put in emails once in a while, and there's, again, there's so many good ones out there, but it was one of those ones that I remember getting about, I don't know, 8 years ago. It was in Manitou, when I was in Manitouk. I never saw it before in my Manitouk experience, but probably my second year, third year in Manitouk, one of my downlines sent me one and said, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you are always right. And I, you know, Henry Ford is the guy that said that. And it's such a, I mean, it's such an incredible statement, because it, you know, you don't look at it as trite, because it carries a lot of depth for us. So it's even like, you people are out there going, well, I can't get to Costa Rica. You know what? You're right. Because it really is a statement about belief. If you believe you can get to Costa Rica, you are going to get there. If you believe you can't, you won't get there. Because what you believe is so powerful in terms of creating your reality, creating what occurs in your life and your future. And that has to do with the confidence, because if you think you can't, you know, you just have a lack of confidence. You're not believing. You're not carrying yourself forward. And confidence is so critical for us as a component of every day of our life. We need to, for us to continuously enjoy success in our life, however we define that success, we need to have a level of confidence that we carry with us day in and day out and day in and day out. Because if you have an absence, if you look at what's the opposite of confidence or a lack of confidence or insecurity, but it really rests in a gap. It creates a void. When we don't have confidence in something, like when you people say, well, I'm not confident that I can win Costa Rica, what actually fills the void that you've created by not being confident? What fills the void is worry, anxiety, and fear. And that's what fills all you've done by not having the confidence or exuding the confidence is that you've opened up a chasm that's filled with fear, worry, and anxiety. So if you want fear, worry, and anxiety to be part of your life, then continue to walk your life in with no confidence. But if you really want to walk in confidence, because you want to live from cans instead of cannots, you want to create everything in the greatness that's within you to be created, then you want to wash yourself away from the fear, anxiety, and worry, and you want that gap to be filled with confidence, so there is no space left for fear and anxiety and worry to enter in. Because that's what confidence does. It quashes out those issues. Just like those issues quash out your confidence. They work as counterbalancing forces in your life. So you choose what force you're going to allow to control your life. Are you going to let fear control it, or are you going to let confidence go? Which choice are you making? So we want to look at confidence as something that is a habit. It's something we choose, You can work on it every single day. You can hone in on it. You can strengthen it. You can empower it. You can create it, and you can continue to add to it, just in behavioral steps that you can take. So let's talk about what that might look like for you in your life. And a lot of this material that I'm talking about today, some of it's mine that just over the years I've accumulated, but some of it comes from Canfield and Caulfield's book, The Power of Focus, which is one of my favorite books to read, too. And the reason I love that book so much isn't that it taught me a lot of things, as well as the fact that he builds the book around strategies. So it's not just about teaching you. It gives you strategies to develop in your life, habits to work out in your life that help you achieve the result that he suggests in each of the individual chapters that he writes about. So when he talks about confidence, he talks about two foundational steps we need to take, two foundational steps. And these are gigantic. So let's talk about the first one. The first one is resolve unfinished business. What messes are we not dealing with in our lives? In other words, do a self-examination in your life. What's unresolved? You have legal issues unresolved. It might be IRS or outstanding debt that you're running from, or outstanding tickets, or some kind of, you know, something that happened in your past that's just lingering out there, that continues to linger, that you keep hoping is going to go away. You hope it goes away. Okay. Anyway, what is it that you're not dealing with in life? It could be legal. It could be financial. It could be a relationship. It could be something with a parent or with a sibling or with a nephew, niece, an uncle, a great uncle. It could be a next door neighbor. It could be a prior job experience. I mean, I had, you know, and I can go through my stuff, people. We all have stuff. You know, no matter who you are, we have stuff. And I had a job experience around that. I worked for a woman, and she was just an incredible controller, you know, just really tough on her employees, just put everybody down, and enjoyed working with me because we kind of were mentally connected. You know, we had that intellectual side, but still very harsh and very cold, and knew only one method of leadership, and that was to be condescending to her people, which included everybody in her environment. Anyway, the relationship didn't work out. I ended up leaving the company after doing extremely well and just and walked away from it. And about a year and a half, 2 years later, I was just sensing this unfinished business around it, because we never had the conversation around, you know, why. Maybe it was too hard to talk about it at the time. We were too close. So I ended up just saying, well, crazy. So I sent her a letter and a book, and I sent her a letter, and I just was really open and apologized for the whole behavioral thing and everything. But it was just when you resolve unfinished business like that, it's not about you being right, and it's not about you changing the result in the world. Does that make some sense to some of you? Some of you don't do certain things. You won't try to resolve an unfinished business because you'll tell me, or you'll tell yourself, it doesn't matter what action I take, they're going to continue along that path. Well, you know what, people? That doesn't matter, because you need to resolve it for yourself more than you need to resolve it for anyone else. In other words, you've got to take the forgiveness action. You've got to come back and do what's right in the face of adversity, in the face of arrogance and ignorance and hatred and whatever it might be. You can't control the other person's response to you, but you need to release it for you, because what you're doing by having unfinished business is you're carrying rocks in your knapsack. You're weighing yourself down every step of your life. You're carrying, and if I asked you just right now to take, you know, a minute and just write down what is unresolved in your life, I bet most of you could use the minute. In fact, there's some of you that might use 20 minutes. There's some of you that wouldn't want to write down anything because you don't want to, you'll tell me, I don't want to drag it out, Mary Jo, I've already put it to bed. And I go, you've already put it to bed. If it's unresolved, it's unresolved. You can try to forget about it as much as you want to, but you know what? It's there. It's still there. It's still eating. It's still there, and it's only destroying you. You think you might be hurting somebody else in the process, but a lot of your unresolved business the other person may not even know about. We carry stuff, garbage around people that they don't even know that you're carrying it. you thought it was pretty evident what the interaction was all about, but they took it totally interpreted a different way. And if you don't believe me on that one, all you got to do is go to, you know, a classic civil procedure class in law school. One of the things they love to do is they'll in this huge auditorium of people, you know, in our civil procedure class, they'll have, you know, six people get on stage and they're actors and they've already been told exactly what to act out. And they'll go through this action and then they'll run off stage. And all of us are required to recite exactly what we saw. And what's amazing is that you're going to have 20 different things that come out on what people saw. Because everything we see in life, we see through the set of sunglasses that represent our programs, our belief systems, our past experiences, how we were raised, all the things that have established us. We all have different sets of sunglasses on. So everybody perceives things differently. We pick up on different things because of the different emphasis that we've had in our lives. Clarity is not clarity. Clarity is through your set of eyes. So it's amazing when you know that, and then you carry unforgiveness around with somebody that you had some interaction. Well, they clearly knew exactly what I was talking. Well, I can't tell you you're right or wrong. I just can tell you it is the possibility for them to have a different perception of it is probably 99% likely, because we all have different paradigms and sunglasses around which we look at it. So the idea is that we want to go out there and look at legal, financial, relationship, organizational, health, family, career, you know, any category in our lives. Church, you could have some unresolved issues going on at church. Why are you avoiding these? Fear is a number one reason why we do. Fear breeds doubt. Doubt breeds lack of confidence. Unchecked in your life, it gets totally out of control and you're down that path again. So, you know, we gotta grapple with it. Most people, you know, you don't like conflict, so you don't. Fear is what holds you back from grappling with unfinished business. But you have choices. Like I said, you have choices. You can deal with it any way you choose. It's just your choice. You can play the denial game, and that's the one I talked about earlier, where people will look at things and they'll say, "Well, you know, if I ignore it long enough, it'll just go away." Well, I've talked to a lot of people about their IRS problems, and so far I haven't seen any of those go away, okay? They'll catch up with you eventually, and when they do, it will be very painful. So it's best to just take them on yourself and get rid of it. Turn it over, get rid of it, flip a new leaf, and move on. It is so freeing to not have that debt lingering out there that you owe, and just waiting for them to come down on you and own you. So take ownership of it yourself and responsibility and flush it through and watch what happens. So it just frees you up to feel that level of freedom and open yourself up to a greater level of self-confidence. Because what you resist persists. That's one of my favorite quotes too. And you have to, if you're resisting IRS and you're resisting things, it's going to persist in your life. So you want to get rid of outer resistance. And denial game is a resistance game. It's a resistance game. Number two, you can choose to go into limbo. You can just spread water and stay stuck, because anyone can stay stuck. So this is about acknowledging it's there and just staying stuck in it, because you just play a limbo game. So it's not that you're denying it exists, but you play this limbo. So at least you're not lying to yourself, but you have the equivalent result in that you're going to stay stuck. You're not going to release yourself to be free to move forward. And number three, you can choose to confront the issue dead on. And why is it we don't choose that alternative? Because, as I said earlier too, the dislike of confrontation. Many of us don't like confrontation. We don't like to take on people. We don't like to, because it's tough. We don't always know what we're going to say. And all I suggest to you in that is that confrontation is a great thing. And I know people, Mary Jo, you think it is because you're a lawyer and you thrive on confrontation. And that's not necessarily true, but I've had a tremendous amount in my life because that was my career, was confrontation. And I love to negotiate. So there's certain aspects of me that just, you know, thrive in that arena. But confrontation doesn't mean, some of you, I talked to somebody the other day about confrontation. I was having this discussion. And they defined it incorrectly. If you definitionally give confrontation a connotation of screaming and yelling and clawing and fighting, then of course you don't like confrontation. But don't give confrontation that definition, because I don't believe that's what you'll find when you look in Webster's Dictionary. Confrontation is a concept that isn't a concept of attack. It's a concept of tackling an issue, not attacking someone, but tackling an issue. So confrontation, let's say you had a problem with a relative that was, you know, they did this to me, Mary Jo, and Well, confrontation can be, you know, calling the person up and say, hey, let's go out to lunch. I really want to talk to you about something. I just want to, you know, clear it up with us so we can move forward. So you sit down and you just go, you know what, all I want to do is first I want to apologize because, you know, I've been holding onto this way too long. And I just want to go back to, you know, talk about the event and just release it. And the event was this, this, and this, and when this happened, this is how it made me feel. So instead of pointing your finger at somebody and say, you always make me feel terrible, you did this to me, and you did it, you say, this was the event, and this is how it made me feel. And I've been carrying the pain around that for a long time, and I just want you to know that I really lift you up, and I forgive you, I forgive the event, I feel badly I've allowed this to wallow for the length of time I have. And I apologize for that. And you move forward. Now, that's confrontation. But you see, you've defined it as anger or being, you make it something self-righteous, something I have to be right. I confront somebody because that makes me right, them wrong. Or you put so much baggage on the word confrontation, when confrontation is just really attacking a problem. It's just tackling the problem. So you talk to somebody about tackling a problem you have between the two of you, but it's not making somebody right and somebody wrong, it's just resolving the issue. So, you know, if you dislike confrontation, I want you to redefine the word confrontation. Or pick a new word. And maybe call it dispute resolution. How's that? Is that something that your stomach can deal with better? Call it dispute resolution. Because that's what all these are, is some kind of dispute that exists. So that's number one. So number two, a certain amount of risk is involved. Why is there risk involved when we go in the face of a problem? Because we open ourselves up to be vulnerable. And vulnerability in many of your eyes is a bad thing. Well, I'm going to suggest one really great thing for you to recognize about the word vulnerability. It's a critical aspect of any great leader. Critical aspect. It's critical. Because vulnerability is the ability to admit mistakes. It's the ability to open your ears and eyes and mind to other people's opinions. It's your ability to grasp and grow. If you're not vulnerable, you're not growing. So being vulnerable is a crucial part of it. Some of you don't like to be vulnerable because you feel like people manipulate you all the time. Well, that's your choice. You can come from some strength around that. And I'm not saying walk every moment of your life in vulnerability if you feel that, if you have that fear. But, you know, if you're not walking in vulnerability, then you do have a level of fear. So you can either choose to continue to exist in that fear. And remember, what is fear doing? Fear is filling the cavity of the gap of where confidence should be. So if you're afraid of being vulnerable and you walk in fear of vulnerability, you're what? You're taking away your own self-confidence. So allow the vulnerability, surrender. Oh, that's a dangerous word. I know, it's just frightening for people. They can have this most incredible walk of the Lord, but they don't get the word surrender. And I go, I don't know how you do that. I think the two are mutually, if you have a walk of the Lord, you have to surrender. You can't, that's what the walk is total surrender. So if we get that, then we understand vulnerability, and we understand there shouldn't be fear attached to vulnerability. There should be only an openness and willingness to grow and to learn more from people. And people might hurt you. Yeah. You know what? There are bad people in this world. And there are also very good people that do some crazy things sometimes, that make mistakes sometimes. So there is a concept of being hurt. And some of you are going, well, I've been hurt so often, I'm not going to let them hurt me again. Well, it's your choice. then you can carry unforgiveness or unresolved or unfinished business the rest of your life and burden yourself with it and put that rock in your backpack. Because remember, when you go through this concept of resolving unfinished business, it's not about the result you create. It's about the result for you create, which is you're releasing something that's burdening you. You're releasing it so that you can move on and you can create a greater level of self-confidence for you. Because you're the one that's important here that we're dealing with. Whether they take it on or not, again, you don't have control over. And the price that you pay, you know, the price you pay is not just the price you pay. The price you pay for choosing A and B is not just a price you pay, is a price that everybody on the earth pays. Because when you open that crevice up and you allow fear, worry, and anxiety to seep into your life and you cast aside your own self-confidence, you're not going to play a bigger game. You're not going to fulfill the abundance that they have for you. Here's a Buckminster Fuller had a great quote, and I'm going to share this with you. He says, "I'm convinced all of humanity is born with more gifts than we know. Most are born geniuses and just get de-geniused rapidly. That's something. Really about who we are, the greatness that's within each and every one of us. But when we choose to carry unforgiveness and doubt and fear and worry and the fear of vulnerability and all these things that we carry, instead of growing in our own self-confidence, we're casting aside the greatness that is in store for us and also in store for everybody around us. So critically important for us to support other people in a level of confidence, but we have to support ourselves first. So look at it that way. I attached a write-up that really comes from Marianne Williamson. This is many times misquoted as Nelson Mandela, but it's because Nelson Mandela quoted it in his inaugural speech in 1994, so people attributed it to Nelson Mandela. But it was really written by Marianne Williamson in A Return to Love. And, the first line is probably the one that's misquoted the most, which is, "Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us." So I won't read it all, but you can read this at your spare time, and maybe that's what you post on your wall. But it's such an incredible, it was just such an incredible piece that, you know, to think about how we were born to make manifest the glory of God within us. And, you know, why are we not doing that? Why are we holding back? And one of the big reasons that we hold ourselves back is this chasm that we grow into of depleting our self-confidence and allowing fear and worry and anxiety to come in. Because our confidence comes from, you know, for many of us, from our Christian walk. I mean, if we're a child of God, my gosh, look at who we are. If we're created in His likeness, how can we walk on this face of the earth without unbelievable confidence? You know, but we don't see that. We allow seepage. We allow taint. We allow intrusion. We allow contamination to enter our life in many ways, shapes, and forms. And when we go further, resentment and resistance destroy you, not the other person. So when you carry resentment, resistance, and then when you get into revenge, it's really off the charts. But they all destroy you. They don't destroy the other person. So we need to get out of our self-righteous concept, our concept of, well, I'm right, they did me wrong, Mary Jo, and they don't have a right to have me as a friend. And I'm just going, I get it that you feel self-righteous about this issue. I get that. All I'm telling you is that it's ruining you. And if you choose to allow it to do that, and you're going to tell me, oh, it's not ruining me, I'm fine with it, I can grapple with it, I've got it stored in this little place in my brain, and it, you know, and I go, yeah, right. There you go again. I don't want any nuggets of negativity stored in my little brain. I don't want any nuggets of negativity. None. Free that brain up. Free that persona up. Free yourself from all that garbage and baggage. And watch what happens to the self-confidence that you develop when you can free yourself from all that stuff we carry around. Some people thrive in it. That's all they care about. They're gossip mongers. They carry all that stuff. They just can't wait. I mean, that's choices people make. But what a self-destructive behavior. And we get a lot of that from media. They present that to us, but we won't get into, you know, where it originates from. We just know it's wrong, And it's a choice you have to make for yourself, whether you're going to step in that level of self-confidence or you're going to allow yourself to wallow in past, in unresolved business. A second thing in this category is to also look at forgiving yourself. So, you know, a lot of us won't forgive other people, but we also have to recognize that we need to forgive ourselves at the same time. There's so many of us that carry stuff about our past, that things that we've done, and we're never good enough, and we're never going to be good enough, and if I only would have, it's the would have, could have, should have, all this stuff. The would have, could have, should have is language that never should come up in your vocabulary. In fact, if you have it in your vocabulary today, I want you just to put a big black check mark and just cross it off. Whenever you hear it come up in your little voice in your head or in out of the words in your mouth, would have, could have, should have, get rid of it. You're living in the past. You're tying yourself to the past. And there's nothing worse than tying your future to your past. Why would you want to limit your future based on your past experiences? If I ask that question on this call, how many of you would love to have your past control your future? I don't think any of you would say that's what you wanted, no matter how successful you might have been. I want my future to be unlimited in abundance. And so why do we do that? We stay in would have, should have, could have. Well, get out of it. It's all past. It's all language of the past. It's living in the past. And it's about unforgiveness. We're carrying shame, blame, all that stuff that we carry forward. And maybe we get it out of our religious upbringing. A lot of people carry it forward because that's how they were raised, in their religion, in what denominations, different denominations really get into guilt and shame and all that stuff. And nonsense. Nonsense. Especially if you're walking as a Christian on the earth and you know that the minute you get on your knees and you lay it over to the Lord and you ask for forgiveness for anything that's transpired in your life, anything. The Lord has the power to take that and lift that from you. That's why he says, lay it at my feet. Lift it from you so you can move forward in his likeness. Because if you're carrying all that garbage, are you moving forward in his likeness? No. So, of course, he doesn't have a reason for you to carry that forward. And you don't have a reason to carry it forward except maybe it gives you an excuse why you're not who you should be, why you're not performing the way you know you can perform. So maybe you can go victim to it. Because it happened to me in my past, so I can rationalize my current status because of what happened in my past. Yeah, you could do that. That's a choice you can make, but it's not a very responsible one, and it's not true, but it will give you a basis of rationalization. So why don't we just forget living in the past, and why don't we start creating the future that God's given us in our pathway to create, which is unlimited, and get rid of the shoulda, woulda, coulda, the shame, the guilt, all the things, and start forgiving yourself. And as looking at the word forgive, we know the word give is in the word forgive. And the greatest gift that you have is the gift of love. And in order for you to love others, you need to start with what? Loving yourself. And that's a standard that's scriptural as well. Love others as God loves you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Did God say that because he thought you'd hate yourself? The whole underlying premise of that is to love self. So to open up your capacity to love others requires you to first love yourself. So if you fail to love yourself, you will never move forward. And again, that's one of my biggest things I end up doing in counseling. Almost all my coaching, I should say, sessions with people in my foundation are, so much of them are around, what are your characteristics? Do you love yourself? And what is it about you love the most? And having people just focus on what causes them to love themselves. Because until you love yourself, you can't have a relationship with another person. Not one that's alive and dynamic and growing. Sometimes you see some of these relationships out there and you just go, oh my gosh, how are these people? They're just constantly, in love and they're hugging, and they might have their little spats here and there, but they're just to have this kind of this unity that just is amazing. And I'll tell you, it starts from the love they have for themselves, to be able to love one another like that. So let yourself become alive, forgive yourself, move forward in life, quit living in past, and live in a fulfillment. the second foundational step to take after you resolve unfinished business, both with others and with yourself, okay, the second thing is identify your deepest fears and start really examining what those fears are and step into them. And I've done a lot of talks on fear, and you can look at them on the manatrain.net website. We just did one a couple months ago on the fear of money, your relationship with money, and the fear of poverty fear and scarcity fear that people have. And then I did one on overall all sorts of fears back a few years ago. You can look up in Manatrain as well. But it's a huge concept because it really is something, again, it's the, what fills the chasm or displaces confidence. Fear displaces confidence. You can't have confidence and fear coexisting because they kind of don't. It's kind of like love and fear don't coexist. Well, confidence and fear have a very difficult time coexisting as well. One tends to displace the other. So false expectations appearing real is what fear is. And we put a tremendous amount of energy in our lives around fear. Some of you right now are going, oh, Mary Jo, but I fear that I'm not going to win the Costa Rica trip. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, get rid of it. Quit focusing on it. Focus on winning it, not on not winning it. Focus on the cans, not the can'ts. Get rid of the T's. You know, we carry so much of that fear with us, and we have all different kinds of fears that can pop up for us. And funny, I read this list and I just go, I don't really sense anything around any of them, but I know each one of you, you know, it might trigger something in you. We carry fear of health, and these are just classic fears that people have. Fear of loneliness, fear of losing your job. Of course, today everybody's losing their job, so I don't know how much fear is left in that, but losing your job, uncertainty about the future. We got a lot of that, people. You can choose to fear it. I kind of enjoy uncertainty about future. I think uncertainty is what breeds the flavor of abundance, of greatness in our future. Not a negativity, but of greatness. You know, uncertainty is great. And the uncertainty about, I'll just touch on this with you, the uncertainty around my economy to me is great. The greatness is this, that where we were over the last 8 years, 10 years, 12 years, was never going to serve us. How many believe that paying people on Wall Street $70 million in bonuses was the right thing for this economy to be doing? How many believe that the commissioner of baseball should make $18 million a year? How many of you believe, I mean, with all these salaries, when you look at the athletes out there, how many of you believed in all that? Did you believe there's something right about it? Or did down deep inside you say, there's something really wrong about the disparity of income occurring in our country today? And until we get that corrected, people, going through this process of what we're going to see in the next 2 to 4 years is going to be an evolution of a new beginning for this country, and it's our chance that we can perhaps correct a lot of those wrongs. Whether you believe it's going to happen or not is part of your belief system. I believe any change is good because where we were going was going to be absolutely devastating. So we can only go in a direction that is less devastating than what we were aiming in before. So we have to start, because this all is catching up to the greed in this country, and so there's greatness there. But that's just so uncertainty about the future to me is beautiful because I was certain a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, where we were headed. I was certain that we were going to be heading into either a big brother mentality where 80% of us were going to be in the lower class and be treated as the los pobres and not be able to have children because only the top. I mean, that whole 1984 thing was coming to fruition, but it was 2009, 2015. Whatever that was going to happen, it was going to happen because the greed and the level of the haves versus the have-nots was getting so ridiculously out of balance. So putting some balance back in this country is going to be a healthy thing for this country. Dying failure, making fear of failure, we know that's a big one out there, that a lot of people carry a fear of failure. And, of course, our fears, there's a great saying about our fears become our greatest reality. And so it's important for us. Fear of failure is one of those things that we have, you know, because we sit back and we just think we can't. We have this concept in our head that we can't do it. Let me give you a quote from Vincent van Gogh around this because I think this is a great one. And it really has nothing to do with painting. But the quote is about painting. But listen to his quote. Vincent van Gogh said, if you hear a voice within you say, you cannot paint, then by all means, paint, and that voice will be silenced. That is so powerful. If you have a voice inside you that says, you cannot do Manitech, then by all means, do Manitech, and that voice will be silenced. If you have a voice within you that says, you cannot win Costa Rica, then by all means, win the Costa Rica trip, and that voice will be silenced. Are you getting me? And that's that fear of failure. We carry it with us. We carry that little voice that tells us we can't do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to fail. We're gonna, oh, my gosh. Listen, it's just critical what we need to do and how we need to take on those fears. So you look at all those, you know, and look at the laundry list that I put in there in terms of the outline, and you can circle the ones that you need to work on because, you know, it's important for us to grapple with what's holding us back. And here's a big laundry list of some of the things and fears that you might be carrying forward. And you've got to identify them in order to tackle them. Some of us like to ignore them. Some of us like to deny them. But the real thing to do is to identify them, because awareness is your first step of any change in your life. And a very good exercise that he promotes in his book is to do with a friend is to take a recorder with you and talk to yourself. Just keep asking, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And just talk and just open, just talk. When you ask the question over and over, every time you come to a dead end, ask one more time, what is it that I'm afraid of? And just talk. But have a tape recorder there to record what you say. You don't have to get, you know, or you can do it with a friend and have them write down what they hear from you. You know, it's somebody, get a close friend that you're, and don't go into shame or I need to look good so I can't say that to her. I mean, get out of I need to look good. In fact, if that's where you go with it, write that down as one of your fears. I'm afraid of what other people think of me. Boy, that's a big fear people have. And of course, you know, the book I recommend for that, What Other People Think of Me Is None of My Business, which is a great book by Terry Cole Whitaker. But we need to write down what's gripping us. What's our grip? What's, you know, and then once you go through that experience of having a tape recorder or a friend who's recording it down and just, you know, listen to it, read it back, and just, but this takes 25, 30 minutes sometimes. Sometimes it takes you 15 minutes just till you become real with yourself. Because some of you are so stuck, you put so many layers of protection around your inner feelings that it's going to take you 10, 15 minutes just to dig deep enough to break through the barriers that you've built up to some of those feelings. So do that. Get to that deep core, identify them, and then come up with a strategic plan on how to overcome them one at a time. So you might have five of them. That's great. There's nothing wrong with having five fears. It's just what's wrong with it is that you're not identifying them and tackling it. The concept of having them is something that's pretty clear that most people have because it's what's holding people back. But now let's go in and identify them and then tackle them one at a time. And in The Power of Focus, he gives us six strategies to tackle fears, six confidence-building strategies outlined in the book and the action steps. And again, this is one of the main reasons I love this book so much, because it carries so many concepts of what to do about it. Because so many times we think we can might see something, an aha in our lives, but what do we do about the aha in our lives? What are we going to do differently to create a different result? So the confidence-building strategies in the book are sixfold, and let's run through those. One, every day remind yourself you did some things well. In other words, every day is about acknowledgement of you creating something in your life. Even though your day might have gone off the deep end or something does, something sidetracked you because you didn't have your rudder in the water right or something, you know, we do get sidetracked. And that's the power of focus, and that's what we need to stay. That's why we need to stay on focus in our lives. We need to have our rudder straight in the water so we don't get off grounded and misdirected. But the idea here is that, you know, every day you want to support yourself with positive wording, positive acknowledgement, instead of dwelling on what didn't happen, which I hear so much. I'll get on the phone call and a coaching call, and people go, "Oh, Mary Jo, my week was a mess." I don't want to hear about it. What did you do? That's why in our coaching group that we do with Coach Roy every Friday morning, what do we talk about? Our wins. What did we create? And a win could be simply just a breakthrough about how you're allowing other things to run your life and you finally got it. I mean, that's a gigantic thing. But now start moving forward and creating results in your life. What results are you creating? you want to grow this business, you want to get to Costa Rica, then you got to create results. You got to stay on path with your plan and make the plan, the results of the plan, work out. They have to be created. And that's what that whole coaching program is about, is creating the results you set for in your life. You got to overcome those fears, and overcoming those fears means that you start off with acknowledgement. Acknowledgement, acknowledgement, acknowledgement. And it's a classic case of, are you looking at this world as a glass half empty, or are you looking at this world as a glass half full? In other words, I'm halfway there versus I'm barely even getting there by being only halfway. It's half empty. I didn't accomplish my task. No, I'm not looking at the half of the glass that's empty. I'm looking at what I did create, the half of the glass that's full. Number two, read inspiring biographies and autobiographies. There are many of them out there that are just terrific, that can really instill a sense and inspire you like nothing else. There are lots of them out there. I love to read books about forgiveness. I love to read books, you know, a lot of great, there's just a lot of them out there that you can read and pick up. And just ask friends of yours, people, relatives who read some good books and autobiographies about some of the great leaders that we've had and some of the great people. It's just amazing how inspirational some of their lives are. And you'll recognize, too, in a lot of these books that you'll see people with phenomenal challenges in their lives, because some of these books are about people. There's a great book out there that I read about a guy who's blind and what he created with his blindness, and people that are handicapped. Well, Helen Keller's another great story about blindness and what people can create even through the challenges that they have. And the incredible thing is a lot of us on this call don't have those kind of challenges. We don't have necessarily the physical disabilities that other people have. So what's holding us back? Well, fear, or whiny, or living in the past. These are the kind of things. Unforgiveness, including ourselves. We carry all that baggage. We create it. So we create our own challenges. So thinking that you're going to live a life without challenge is an illusion, and I think that that's why we read people's inspiring autobiographies, because we see all the challenges they had, and yet they overcame. Be thankful. Three, heart of gratitude. We've talked about this many times on this call. In fact, I give a Thanksgiving call just on heart of gratitude. It's so critical. Just come from an attitude of thankfulness, and you'll see joy return in your life instantly. Really. Come from gratitude. When things start looking bad, maybe you finished off business period two and your GPV went down again, or you didn't get where you wanted to get to in your trek towards Costa Rica. Whatever it is that might have held you back last month for any reason, which is mostly yourself, but whatever it might have been, we don't get down on yourself. Don't live in, just instead of looking at that, you just be thankful for what you do have. Come from a heart of gratitude and look forward to the greatness of what you do have. And live in that realm instead of getting the hammer out and start beating you up on yourself. So be thankful. Be thankful, because most of the problems that you have will really pale in comparison to the benefits that you enjoy every day of your life. And there are always people that are 10,000 times worse off than you are. We're so fortunate to have what we do have. Number four, build excellent support all around you, friends, mentors, whatever. It's a major aspect of creating a greatness and building confidence, is to build great people around you. Kalen says it in his Being the Best You Can Be in Network Marketing, of course. In the four fuels of his business, number one is the environment you create. So create a healthy, happy environment. That means have good mentors, coaches, friends around you. Get rid of the whiny, complainy, whatever. You don't need to have those people a part of your life. You can choose differently. And we've been through that on this call as well. The choices you make are just, when people get really whiny and say, you know what, when we have these kind of conversations, this is what it makes me feel like. And I don't like being in that position. So let's choose not to have those kind of conversations, or let's choose not to converse. So it's really simple. It's not a threatening thing. It's just you don't need to have that. You don't need to have that negativity around you. Number five is push yourself to accomplish short-term goals. Nothing better in creating confidence than truly accomplishment. So choose some bite-sized goals. For some of you, that might be, okay, you know, last month I was going to sign up three new All-Stars or two new All-Stars, and I didn't get anyone signed up. So I'm going to stop putting that as a goal. I'm going to say this week I'm going to talk to one new person every day. And just go out and make that happen. Because you know what? I know every one of you can do that. Every one of you can do that. So go do that and watch the exhilaration and joy when you accomplish that. So take a bite-sized goals and start accomplishing the bite-sized goals. For a lot of you, I know you're struggling because a lot of the people in your downline are just burned out, worn out. They haven't done Manatech in a number of years, and somehow even the $4.99 pack may not be exciting them, or maybe that Costa Rica trip's not exciting them. You know, you're just having a hard time remotivating them. Well, it's time to get new blood. It's time to go out and get new blood. Find new people. Find people who are going to be excited and motivated, and they're going to feel a part of something, and they want to be a part of this, and that's what you need to do. And the only way to do that is go out and meet new people. So push yourself to accomplish short-term goals instead of getting into wallowing in misery. It's important. Grab new people. So it's time to, you know, win the incentives, win the time to go out and win the Costa Rica trip. So take a challenge to do that, but little bite-sized pieces, instead of signing up 2 new All-Stars this week, which might be some of your goals out there, you big promoters, but other people, maybe it's just, again, talking to one new person each day. And then do something for yourself every week that is self-honoring. You always want to put yourself in a posture of doing some self-honoring. So find something in your life that's self-honoring. Maybe it's a massage. Maybe it's a pedicure, a manicure. Maybe it's, you know, it could be anything from A to Z. Maybe it's, you know, buying tickets to a sporting event and really treating yourself, you know, doing something special. Take time off and read a book. Crash on the couch and do something just different. But once a week, you ought to do something that's really self-honoring. And it's not just, I don't even think once a week. I think you can actually do self-honoring practices every day. What's really self-honoring to me might not be self-honoring to you. One of my greatest self-honoring things that I do in my life today is my personal trainer. I look at that as one of the most incredible self-honoring things I do. Is it painful? Oh, my gosh. But it is so much about supporting me and my attitude and my physical being, and it's so self-honoring. It is totally, because what is it about? It's about me. My personal trainer is not about everybody else in the world, although I'm making it because I'm putting him in front of my whole church this weekend at a seminar that he's doing. I mean, so I'm getting him out there. But it's really about what I'm doing for Mary Jo. So choose a self-honoring thing and make it a part of your life. Of course, we have many self-honoring things. Our walk with the Lord, our quiet time is very self-honoring as well. It's really God-honoring, but it's self-honoring because it's about how you honor that walk you have with him. So you have many things in your life that are really high on that list, but you got to start acknowledging that for yourself. Because if you're in self-denial, which so many people get into, you lose track of self. And selflessness is a whole other thing. Selflessness in terms of contribution to others, but you got to fill yourself up in order to share with others. So find those self-honoring things. Okay, and concluding today, we just remember, I love the quote at the end of this. It's, your capacity far exceeds your current level of performance in life. Isn't that a great statement? And we all can agree with that when we look at what we've created. But the idea is, okay, so let's go out and start reaching closer to our capacity in terms of what we are currently doing. Let's reach bigger, play a bigger game. Because why? Because playing small, and that comes out of the quote at the last page as well, your playing small does not serve this world. It doesn't serve you, but it also doesn't serve the world. All right, guys, so there's some helpful hints. Anyone have some comments? Do any of you guys feel some of this that applies to you? Do you have some things you want to work on walking away from the call today? Anyone want to share? Okay.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you brought to mind a person that was in Florida when I was a car salesman. People used to sell Oldsmobiles, about 5 to 6 cars a month. This guy sold 80 cars a month. The only thing that was amazing about the story is that he was blind.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? Yeah, he sold 80 cars a month, and he was blind. Yeah. There you go. See, now, isn't that an inspiring story? See, those are the kind of things that just are very inspiring. Yeah. So you look at that and you go, so what's holding me back? You know, we had a blind person in Manitowoc who became presidential. So what's holding us back? Yeah. Great story. Okay, people, I love you all. Just find, you know, get to work on, tackling some of those fears, getting rid of that chasm that we've created that's destroying our self-confidence and getting rid of those fears and worries and anxieties, step out of the past and live in our future and create a better future. And I think that we all can make shifts in our lives. And hopefully these strategies that came out of the book are going to be helpful for you. If they're not, then choose your own strategies. You can come up with what serves you, but always take in mind that be open and vulnerable to learn new things from people that have great concepts about how to move you forward and how to support you in creating the success in your life that you so desire, because it's there to be had. It's just, you know, it's kind of the idea of in order to have a new discovery, we don't need to take new voyages. We need a new set of eyes, and that's really how I look at this for all of us. So open your eyes, open yourself up to be vulnerable to hear new things and new strategies about moving yourself forward, and you'll create some tremendous greatness. All right, you guys, love you all, and I'll talk to you next week. And don't forget, register for Manifest. I can't wait to
great
see you all.
Thanks.
You bet. Love you guys.
This is really powerful.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Mary Jo?
Yeah?
There is an outstanding book and tape set by Lisa Jimenez called Conquer Fear, and it's
wow.
available in the Success Store. Mm-hmm. And I got hold of that in December, went through it, taught it at a local Manitowoc meeting, and then we did a seminar here at the house on the whole 4 hours of her webinar.
Boy.
But it's in, you know, more in depth of what you talked about today.
Great.
Highly
great.
Recommend.
Obviously, in that time period, you can go a lot. This is just more of a cover of it. But that's great. No, Conquering Fear by Lisa Jimenez, that's great, great. And we know Susan Jeffers does a lot of great work. She has two great books about out there about, you know, feel the fear and do it anyway and then moving forward. So great. There are a lot of help tools out there, people, that are reasonable in price that you can get that if this is something that really challenges you, tackle it now. Don't keep living every day with these fears. Move forward. Yeah, shake them loose. It's like getting the dust and the dirt off your feet because you're carrying it. And some of you have gigantic knapsacks on your back that are just destroying you, holding you back like all tomorrow. So free yourself up. Great. Thanks for the suggestion. Lisa Jimenez, Conquering Fear. Yeah. All right, people, and if you want some of the, if you have some ideas, if some of the quotes I gave you, and there are tons more that you liked, you can always go on quotes on your internet, look up the word confidence under quotes, quotes for confidence, and you can get a whole list of them and pick out a couple that really, you know, float your boat, because there are plenty of great ones there. I enjoy using some of the work they do. I don't have to go and do all the research. It takes me a couple of clicks on the internet buttons, and I can find all those. They're terrific. So love you all, and have a great week, you guys, and get to work. Business Period 3, we got to kick off and say, what are we going to accomplish this month? And again, see you guys all at Manifest as well. Bye-bye.